Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Proverbs 19:21. I am Rob West. That verse reminds us that we should always seek God's counsel in our affairs. That's true for individuals and for nations. I'll talk with economist Jerry Boyer about what happens when a nation ignores God's plan. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, I'm excited that my friend and Faith and Finance resident economist Jerry Boyer is with us again today. Today's discussion is part two of a six-part series we're doing on a biblical economic worldview. Now, I know that sounds a little dry, but trust me, Jerry Boyer is never boring. And Jerry, great to have you back with us.
Dry? Economic worldview sounds dry? Oh, no. Maybe I can't believe it.
A little academic. Jerry, the last time you talked about how an economy is supposed to work when everyone follows biblical principles. So let's just recap. Give us a thumbnail sketch of that before we dive into today's topic, which is, in fact, what went wrong.
Well, the way it's supposed to work is the way it's designed to work, which is how it worked in creation in the garden, which is that we are subordinate to God. God creates the world. Then God makes man in his own image and likeness. Yeah. And since up until then, the only thing we've seen God do is be creative, to take things and make them better. You know, day one was good. Why is there a day two? Well, I guess we can make it better. Day two is good. Tov. God saw that it was good. But there's still a day three. So I guess we can make it better, right? That's how God does it. And that's what man is supposed to do. And so up until the creation of man, that's what we've seen God do. So that gives us a pretty strong reason to believe that when it says that man is made in the image and likeness of God, that has a strong emphasis on what we've been seeing God do, whose image and likeness we're in, which is to make things. Now, God makes things out of nothing. But he also takes things that are already made and improves them. We can only do that second one. We can only improve. But that is, in fact, our job. And when we do that under God, what we do is we defer gratification. We learn. We improve. We don't eat all the fruit. We take some of the seeds, and then we plant those, and then there's more trees, and we take care of them. And more trees means more fruit, and more fruit means more seeds, and more seeds means more trees, and on it goes. And it's this virtuous cycle of abundance.
Yes.
And that's the way it's supposed to work. But of course, that's not how it stayed. Something went wrong.
Yeah, something went drastically wrong. So pick up there, Jerry. What went wrong?
Well, sin and alienation from God, alienation from the creation, and alienation from one another.
Yeah.
The man and the woman hide from God separately, not together. So a lot of things, everything went wrong in some sense, but I'm going to focus in on two things. The world went wrong and we went wrong. The world went wrong in the sense that it was now cursed, which means there's more scarcity, thorns and thistles rather than fruit trees and bushes, sweat of our brow, work became toilsome. There's more scarcity. And when there's more scarcity, the basis of economic growth is cut off, because economic growth is about reinvesting for the future, not consuming now, so that there can be growth. We went wrong in the sense that we became more animalistic and more appetite-driven, which means that we're not willing to, in an era of scarcity, to defer into the future. And again, cutting off that virtuous cycle of deferring, working, producing more now by consuming less now.
Yeah, and I think that's really key, Jerry. You talk about this virtuous cycle versus what we're in now, which is a vicious cycle. Obviously, the virtuous cycle is really God's design for all of this, but we have a way of taking God out of his rightful place and putting government in his place, and that doesn't work, does it?
It doesn't. That's the false solution. The false solution is, instead of turning back to God, we turn man into a god. Now, what man gets turned into a god? Well, tends to be the kings, right? Yeah. So we turn to government as our new God.
Yes. All right, we're going to continue to unpack this. When we come back, we'll talk about this vicious cycle that we're in now and what we can do about it. Jerry Boyer with us today, our resident economist and president of Boyer Research. Your call's coming up a little later in the program as well. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Much more to come. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There comes that time in the history of a nation when a leader must speak, whether it comes after a national tragedy or an important anniversary. When the leader speaks, his or her citizens listen carefully. The prophet Isaiah was sent in order to call the Israelites to repentance, but they wouldn't listen. During this tragic time in the history of his people, God spoke. He spoke through Isaiah, and in chapter 25, we read the words, "The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from the earth." At this pivotal moment, God didn't reject his rebellious people. He spoke a word of reconciliation. Are you listening? The King has spoken and has promised to make all things right. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Most of us wonder about the concept of heaven. On the next Focus on the Family, Lee Strobel examines evidence for the existence of heaven and our eternal soul. He also takes a deeper dive into why you can trust the Christian worldview. It's a hope-filled conversation to give you a glimpse of the other side next time on Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my friend and our resident economist, Jerry Boyer. He's president of Boyer Research, and you can read his columns at World Opinions. Jerry joins us today with part two in a six-part series on a biblical economic worldview. Just before the break, Jerry was sharing God's design for economics and wealth creation, which you might call a virtuous cycle, and he was also talking about where it went wrong, starting with sin entering the world, but also we perpetuate that by really getting into not a virtuous cycle, but a vicious cycle. Jerry, talk about that for a moment. What does that look like?
Well, a vicious cycle gets worse and worse, right? So there's a next phase downward in the decline, and that occurs when we try to solve it ourselves. So when things go wrong, what you're supposed to do is turn back to God and say, "Help us. Where there are thorns and thistles, help bring a good crop. Help me be disciplined. Help us be productive. Help make our work a little less woe and a little more joy." And then that can turn around. But instead, what we do is we say, we'll solve it. We'll create our own God, which typically is the state. In modern terms, what that means is we give enormous power to government. In essence, instead of going back to God as king, we create another king. We take the crown from God's head, or try to, imagine that we can, and put it on the head of the king. In terms of modern economics, what that usually means is debasing currency and easy money and high debt and low interest rates. And I did this video series back, I think it was in 2009, and the Fed was just embarking in this direction. Yeah. I didn't know how far it was going to go, honestly, in that direction. And what that does is it creates a tremendous bubble. That's a way of dealing with our anxiety. Like in your life, if you have anxiety problems, maybe you get drunk, you know, or take narcotics, and you do feel a little better for a little while, but it actually makes things worse. Well, the financial version of that is debasing currency. That's the drug to which a financial system can become addicted. But the problem is eventually you get inflation. And we did. And yes. Then eventually that inflation can't be denied. And then the government fights it by pulling money out of the system and raising interest rates and contracting the money supply. And that pops the bubble. Because ultimately, reality cannot be denied. We can try to ignore it, but when we try to make man a god, he isn't a god. And he can't create out of nothing like God can. We can print money, we can't create wealth out of nothing. And if you print money but don't create new wealth, you don't get new stuff, you just get higher prices.
And we're certainly experiencing that right now. Jerry, also, when we begin to print money, instead of taking it and putting it back into economic expansion and production and giving it to the God that created us to acknowledge his rightful place, it goes in this bigger state toward more taxes, which drives consumption down, right?
Yeah, it really does. I don't want the government to debase currency and give it to anybody. But it's even worse in the sense that it debases currency and gives it in the wrong places. It gives it to central power. So it's not just a matter of debasing currency. You know, Ben Bernanke, former Fed chairman, said, we're going to have helicopter money, like we're going out across America and dropping money from helicopters. Well, it seems like all the helicopters got stuck in Manhattan because they dropped all the money on the banking system and it didn't get out to the rest of us until, the inflation was pretty high. By the way, that's called the Cantillon effect for people who are into the dry economic stuff. So whoever gets the money first gets it before the inflation occurs. So this inflation is actually a transfer of wealth from the poor and middle class to the ruling class, to the financial and political class. So not only do we debase currency, but we give the debased currency to the wrong people.
Mm. Well, and the reality is, although you can print money infinitely, you can't print wealth infinitely. So the yields that are there are not representative of what's actually going on, right?
No, an interest rate tells the truth about you. Right? I mean, if a society doesn't save, interest rates rise, right? Because, money is scarce, savings is scarce. If a society debases currency, interest rates rise because you need to be protected against inflation. If a society isn't covenant keeping, if a lot of people commit bankruptcy, they don't repay, we don't keep our agreements, well, interest rates rise because there's the danger of default and you need to be compensated for that. There are risk premia in interest rates. They reflect who we are. Maybe we don't like what we see. maybe the interest rates tell us things about ourselves that we don't know. So what financial suppression or easy money or debasing of currency or pushing down interest rates, whatever you want to call it, that's like looking in a skinny mirror. Hey, I look good. Well, no, you don't. You just think you're financially healthy because the central bank is creating money. We're not saving that money. The central bank is creating it. It looks and feels like abundance, but it in fact is scarcity and distortion.
Mm. All right, Jerry. So what can we do about this? Where do we go from here?
Put the crown back where it belongs. We don't put it, acknowledge where the crown was all along, which means demote the state to what Paul said in Romans 13. It's just a servant. That's all the state is. It's not a god. Paul and Peter in their letters had the habit of referring to the emperor as the king. Yeah. Well, does that mean there's no emperor? Well, no, Jesus is the emperor. He's the king of kings and lord of lords. But, Caesar's just another king. He's just another payroller. He's God's hired help. Maybe he doesn't realize it or not. So you demote the state and then get refocused on God. Now, we're so far behind that Christians are going to have to do this on our own for a while. We're not going to be able to say to the culture, the state isn't God, and have the culture give up idolatry to the state. That's not the way it works. We have to personally act like the state isn't God in our own financial decisions, and then we will mirror to the world what God's economy looks like, which is abundance and generosity. We give to God because that refocuses us. It recalibrates us. We give to the church. We give to the poor because God tells us to, but also because it creates a community. So we have to show what it looks like in order for us to expect the world to say, oh, I'll take that, rather than I'll take the mystery of acting like a Christian, even though I don't know what that looks like because I don't see Christians doing it.
Mm. Yeah, so it starts with us and our own economies and how we handle God's money. And then as nations, it's either we're going to apply these principles or we're not. And there's consequences for that, right?
There really are. And I really think that's an important point. Just because we do it right doesn't mean the nations will listen. I think history shows that when a nation is exposed to the gospel, things can get better or they can get worse. What they can't do is stay the same. So, you know, South Korea said the gospel, that sounds good. And they largely started to become a more Christian society. They're not fully Christian, but they embraced a lot of Christian institutions. North Korea looked at it and said, oh, well, I think our glorious leader is Jesus. And they rewrote the gospel accounts with the dictator with his own little nativity scenes. Mm. So North and South Korea both got the gospel. That was called, what did they call that? The Jerusalem of the East, because it was the center of missionary activity. They both heard the gospel. And one part of the nation said, or a lot of people did, ah, I want to follow this Jesus. And another part of the nation said, oh, I am this Jesus. And look at the difference where you can see it at night from satellites, darkness and light.
Hmm, that's powerful. Well, when you come back, Jerry, next time for part three, we'll talk about the way out of all of this. You touched on it today. We'll build upon this and go even deeper next time. Jerry, always great to have you with us, my friend.
Always a pleasure.
That's our resident economist, Jerry Boyer. You can read his insightful columns for World News Group at WNG.org. Your calls are next. Stay here. We'll be right back.
Prior to birth, children need our help. Read A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life by Pastor Joseph Parker.
We are called this day to stand for the innocent and speak out on their behalf.
This collection of essays by Pastor Joseph challenges us to take a public stand to protect the lives of the unborn. A Pastor's Notes is available now at resources.afa.net.
The body of Jesus Christ must speak up.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Always a privilege to have Jerry Boyer stop by and recenter us on a biblical worldview, especially as it relates to economics. You know, we see everything going on around us with the debasement of currency. We see the printing presses rolling, and we see the debt building. We see inflation sky high, although it is falling. We see rapidly rising interest rates, and it can be a cause for concern. And so every now and then, we need to recenter ourselves on a biblical worldview of money management, including God's design for economics and wealth creation, and those certainly apply to nations as well as individuals. We've got to repent, be on our knees, and seek the Lord for all of this to turn around, and join me in praying to that end. We're grateful for Jerry's insights today. We'll continue to have him back as we unpack this six-part series on really God's design for economics, where it's gone wrong, and what we need to do as a way out. We'll have Jerry back in the next couple of weeks. But it's time to take your calls and questions today. I want to know what you're thinking about financially so we can together apply biblical wisdom, recognizing our identity in Christ first. We're to seek first his kingdom above all else. Then second, we go to his word and apply the big themes and principles that we see in scripture to managing his money. And then finally, we take and apply those to the actual decisions and choices we're making every day as we live, give, owe, and grow according to a biblical worldview. So what are you thinking about today? Let's talk about it. Any financial question is on the table today, 800-525-7000. Robert standing by to take your calls today. We'd love to get you on the air. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin today in Louisiana. Hi, Mary. Go right ahead.
Yes. Hi, Rob. I have a situation that money is with Principal.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with the company.
Sure.
It's okay. They've notified me that my money has to be moved by June 28th or to be frozen. And it's around $45,000.
Okay.
I'm single. I have no debt. I own my home. And I'm in the workforce. I clean.
Okay.
Hard job, but I do an excellent, I'm a good cleaner.
Yes, ma'am. I love that. Well, you're clearly doing work as unto the Lord as you work with diligence and excellence. That's great. Mary, is this a 401k with a previous employer, or what type of account is this?
Yes. I was with Lowe's at the time.
I see.
I was contributing, and they were matching, and I've since left Lowe's.
Okay, very good. And so you're going to need to roll this out of Principal Financial. What I would likely recommend is that you move this to an IRA, an individual retirement account. That will get it out of Principal. You could move it to any brokerage firm you want, really. You could put it at Fidelity or Schwab, or you pick. When it goes into the IRA, the individual retirement account, it stays in a tax-deferred environment. So this is not a distribution. It does not become taxable to you. And then at that point, you would be able to select how you want it invested. You could do that yourself, or you could have somebody help you with that. This is probably not enough money for an investment advisor to take full discretion over this and manage it for you. However, there are options to get you some assistance as you navigate this process of both opening that new account
transferring out of Principal Financial by the deadline, which is going to be here in 2 weeks. So we got to move quickly and then getting that reinvested before these funds are frozen. What I would do here, Mary, is probably reach out to our friends at soundmindinvesting.org. They take a biblical approach to everything that they do, and they work with investors at all stages, from those just getting started to those with wealth that are preparing for retirement. And they could help you determine where to open that account, how to get that rolled over, and then also selecting some mutual funds that are appropriate for your age and risk tolerance. Probably something that's fairly conservative, probably largely bond related as opposed to stocks. Bonds are very attractive right now because interest rates will likely be moving down from here. If they go up anymore, it's not going to be by much. So as the interest rates come down, the bond prices will rise, plus you'll get the yield that's paid out on those bonds, which is fairly attractive right now. And you can be broadly diversified by using mutual funds. So it'll probably be a bond mutual fund or a balanced fund with bonds and stocks. So the place to go is soundmindinvesting.org, and I think they could walk alongside you, Mary, as you get all of this set up.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That's a lot.
It is. So I think the next step for you is we know we need to get it out of Principal. We want to roll it to an IRA, and soundmindinvesting.org can help you. That's really all you need to know. Now, if you wanted to do it yourself, then you would just go to a Schwab or a Fidelity, open the IRA, and then you would request the rollover paperwork from Principal, and they would just roll it into that IRA. And once it got there, then you could figure out what to do with it. But if you want somebody to walk alongside you, I think that's where the folks at Sound Mind Investing could be helpful.
And is there a fee with Sound?
Yeah, well, it depends on how you approach it. There may or may not be. I mean, the mutual funds you select will have fees inside of them for those that are managing those funds. But, you know, just to get started at soundmindinvesting.org, there shouldn't be really much cost depending upon what role they play in helping you get this set up.
Okay.
All right. But if you wanted to do it all yourself, the where you would go from here is you would open an IRA at Schwab or Fidelity or any brokerage firm you want. And then you would contact Principal and say, listen, I have an IRA and I want to roll my 401k out because you told me I need to do that by June 28th. And so I need the paperwork so I can tell you my new brokerage firm, the name of my account, which is going to be your name, comma IRA, and my account number. And they'll just send the money out. It'll deposit in the form of cash. But again, it's a rollover, so it doesn't become taxable to you. So that would be the other option. And then at that point, you could determine how you want to invest it from there, whether that's CDs or bonds or stocks. So I would go one of those two approaches, and I think that'll get you what you need. Thanks for calling today, Mary. We appreciate you being on the program. Tyler, a first-time caller, we're coming your way just around the corner. Lines are open at 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God has entrusted his finances to you.
And we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Let's apply God's wisdom to the financial decisions and choices you're making today. We know you have something rolling around in your mind related to God's money. We want to help you make that decision with confidence. 800-525-7000. Hey, before we head back to the phones, let me just pick up on something you heard during that break. We'd love for you to jump into the FaithFi app if you haven't already. More than 50,000 Christians are engaging in that app on a regular basis, sharing their ideas in the FaithFi community, growing in their understanding of biblical financial wisdom through the Learn section with the best podcasts, articles, and content around. And many of them are using the digital envelope system to manage God's money. So whether you want to connect or learn or manage God's money, it's all right there in the FaithFi app. We'd love for you to download it today. You can search for FaithFi in your app store, or just head to faithfi.com and click the app tab and you can learn more. All right, let's head back to the phones to a first-time caller in Louisiana. Tyler, thanks for being on the program today. Go right ahead.
Good morning. First-time caller here, and I just am having a little bit of a problem and kind of a moral dilemma. I have some credit card debt, and as a Christian, you know, I know that we're supposed to be tithing, and I have around about four credit cards with around $10,000 of credit card debt. And I was just kind of wondering for some advice on how I should handle that. I kind of find myself obsessing about that statement balance every month, and I find that I'm depleting my checking account. And I know that I'll eventually catch up probably maybe 6 to 10 months from now if I keep on doing what I'm doing. I'll probably catch up, you know, to the point where I'm not worrying about high interest anymore. But
yeah,
it just doesn't feel very healthy. I just feel like I'm obsessing about paying that number off every month on those different credit cards, and I have not been giving my money.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Tyler. This is obviously you're wanting to honor the Lord with all that you're doing and managing his money. And clearly that credit card debt's weighing on you. I get that, especially right now with the average interest rate on a credit card up north of 20%. You're wanting to pay that off as quick as you can. There's also a conviction and a stirring in your spirit about wanting to be able to be faithful in giving as unto the Lord. I love the principle of the tithe as a beginning point, the idea that we would give a tenth off of our increase. This comes from the Old Testament. Actually, in the Old Testament, the tithe was 23 1/3% because there was three of them, and one of them was every 3 years. But Jesus raises the bar when he enters the scene. He takes giving to a higher level, shows us a different way of giving, what I would call whole life generosity, by giving his life as a sacrifice. And then when he talks about money, I think he raises the bar. He says we should give as we we've been blessed, and to whom much is given, much is required. And then there's this most famous giver that he commends, that poor widow who gave out of her poverty her last two copper coins. And then, of course, he challenges the rich young ruler to give all of his wealth away, as he sees that that's really the barrier to surrendering his heart. And so where are we in that? Well, I think it's incumbent upon each of us to be on our knees before the Lord, saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? I realize a primary role for you in trusting anything to me as a gracious gift is not only to provide, but really to give, to be a part of where you're at work, Lord. And that's a privilege as we give to participate in God's activity. But we have to balance that with other competing priorities, which are very biblical as well. Saving for the future. There's precious oil in the house of the wise. The foolish man swallows it up. So we need to have some margin and some savings, starting with an emergency fund. We need to dump debt because we know the borrower is servant to the lender, is slave to the lender. And so although borrowing is not a sin, it can absolutely hinder us from all that God has for us. And we see lots of warnings in Scripture around debt. So we sure should be dumping debt. And then we also, as I said before, we need to be givers. So how do we balance that? And ultimately, I think that's something we need to be on our knees before the Lord. You know, perhaps a starting point is not to, you know, look at, well, do I give or do I pay down debt? Perhaps there's a third alternative, which is, where can I cut back spending, lifestyle spending, during this season so I can accelerate my debt repayment and continue to give at whatever level the Lord leads? Now, remember, God's not an accountant. It's not about a legalistic approach. You're not checking a box to do your duty. It's really about a heart posture. That's the giving that God accepts when we give it as an act of worship. And so perhaps during this season, you continue to give systematically. Maybe it's at a level below 10% right now. I think the key is to continue to exercise that giving muscle, do it with the right heart posture. Again, God doesn't need your money. He's got it all. It's all His, but He wants our hearts. And so I think that's a conversation that you need to have with Him as to what level you're giving. And I think it should be accompanied by, Tyler, a real hard and honest look at your other expenses to say, where can I eliminate some spending to free up more that I can put toward debt reduction or additional giving along the way? As to the credit cards, I would recommend you take at least a hard look at what's called a debt management program. Our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org could help you get those interest rates reduced. It wouldn't replace the debt. You're not talking about taking on a new loan. They'd stay right where they are with the original creditors. It's just that if you pay through them, they'll drop the interest rates, and that level payment through ChristianCreditCounselors.org combined with those lower interest rates could help you pay that off 80% faster. So I think a combination of those three things, a combination of those three things, meaning first, a conversation with the Lord about where you should be giving right now. Secondly, a hard look at your budget to eliminate any kind of spending that you can to free up more margin. And then third, enrolling in that debt management program, I think perhaps is a great path forward for you. But give me your thoughts.
I think that sounds really good. Yeah, I think I can sometimes get a little legalistic and obsessive with that 10%. And that's really not what, yeah, you know, God intends for that. You know, like you said, it's about the posture of the heart.
That's right.
And I think that also sounds really good.
Good.
Thank you very much for the advice, and I'll prayerfully consider all of that and maybe make some small trimmings on my budget, maybe with some food spending, yeah, going out to eat and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's one of the big threes that really can so often wreck our budgets. It's food, it's housing, and it's transportation. Housing and transportation are a little more challenging to deal with if they're out of whack, but the combination of those three, all of the housing expenses, all the transportation plus food, really need to be below 65% if at all possible to give you enough margin. But food is one, especially now with prices so high, that usually you can do some quick surgical strikes in your budget to try to get that right size, free up more margin. And then the folks at ChristianCreditCounselors.org can help you work up that new budget, give you maybe some new ideas you haven't thought of, and I think that will get you pointed in the right direction. You'll feel a lot better about where you're headed. If we can help you further along the way, Tyler, don't hesitate to reach out. We appreciate you being a first-time caller on the program today, sir. God bless you. We're going to head to a quick break here in just a moment. Tommy, I know you're a first-time caller in Louisiana as well, and you want to talk about your mutual funds. I'd be delighted to do that. We're going to have to do it on the other side of the break, so I give you enough time to unpack that. You know, folks, we do have some lines open, by the way, and we will have time for a few more calls in our final segment. If you'd like to get on board right now, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You know, when it comes to giving, what we just talked about with Tyler, here's one of the big ideas, is that giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. If money is going to compete with God in our lives for first position, the things that will loosen that grip of money over us is generosity. Think about that today. We're going to head to a quick break and back with our final segment here on Faith and Finance just around the corner. Stay with us.
What do we do when people mistreat us? How do we respond? If we listen to the voices of the world around us, we will be no different than they are. God seems to have a different plan.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, The Tender Warrior, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions here in our final segment today, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's head right back to the phones to another first-time caller. Tommy, thanks for calling there in Louisiana. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I'm here.
Hi there.
I'm getting ready to, I'm near retirement. I'm still working full time. I have a principal. I have like $2.5 million in stocks and a company stocks, mutual funds, and anyway, I had kind of two questions. One was these are involving my financial manager, who's a guy who wants to be my financial manager. He wants to manage all my funds and charge me a fee to manage them. And that fee would, you know, he'd take it, it'd be like, he's doing like 0.92%. He'd take that out quarterly. And it's going to wind up being like, I'm just writing it like $13,000 a year to manage my funds. And yeah. He is, you know, saying that he's with a real reputable group, and he said that they have best-in-class funds available. And anyway, he's, you know, they had this software program they run through, you know, run all, it runs like a bunch of scenarios, and all the scenarios are successful. Mm-hmm. And he's also advising me, part of this is waiting until I'm 70 to start doing Social Security, because I'd get like $4,000 a month to wait till I'm 70 versus $3,200 a month now. But my underlying question was, is that 0.92%, is that a reasonable, or is that kind of the way to go with that much money, or should I just try to manage it myself? Because I believe in principle I can set up a program where those give me a monthly distribution.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of thoughts here. First of all, is that an appropriate fee for discretionary money management, 0.92%, so just slightly less than 1% a year on a $2.5 million portfolio? Yes, that is perfectly in line. When he's saying charged quarterly, that's not 0.92 four times a year. That's 1/4 of 0.92% every quarter, based on the balance at the end of that quarter. Is that your understanding?
Yeah. That'd be a total, that 0.92% would be a total of like the 13,000.
Yeah. It's actually 23,000, on $2.5 million. So it's, if you're 0.92% on $2.5 million, that's 23,000. So maybe even 10,000 higher than you thought. And I realize that's a lot of money. But at the same time, you have to recognize, you've spent a lifetime building this nest egg. So to put it on autopilot or to try to do it yourself, if you don't have the expertise, not to mention just the emotional connection you have to your money that a professional does not, I like the idea of you hiring somebody here to manage this. I think, less than 1% on that size portfolio annually is appropriate, even though it's a significant amount of money. I would fully expect you to make that up in terms of the return that you get by having somebody who's actively overseeing this on a regular basis. I might look at, though, the various options that you have, as opposed to using an insurance company, I might look at a registered investment advisor just to get a couple of other thoughts on this. Maybe have two or three individuals that you interview, him being one, but look at a couple of others before you make your final decision. The other piece to this is whether or not, and I think this is a conviction matter that's up to each person. This is not hard and fast in scripture, but if you have a conviction on using a faith-based investing approach where you would intentionally, or your advisor would intentionally select investments that align with your Christian values, avoiding certain companies, embracing others to make sure there's not, companies that are actively engaged in things that violate your values as a believer, that would be another option. And that's why we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. 1,300 professionals across the U.S. and Canada have achieved the designation, and this would be a professional that's met high standards in character and competence and experience, but also been trained to bring a biblical worldview of money management. And if you wanted a couple of CKAs in your area to weigh in on this as well, you would just head to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. You could do a zip code search. But I think to answer your question, I like the idea of you having professional management instead of handling this yourself, and that that fee is perfectly appropriate just based on what would be normal and customary.
Okay. You said that website's faithfi.com?
That's right. Faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA. Okay. It stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor, and you can do a zip code search.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Anything? Sounds good.
Very good, Tommy. If we can help you further along the way, sir, let us know. And let me ask you just quickly, what are you most looking forward to in this next season of life? What do you think God has for you?
I've been about to continue supporting a lot of my family members, and then I want to do a little traveling, and just not be on the phone all the time.
I hear you. Well, that sounds That sounds wonderful. I will say, and I didn't mention this, but you said that the advisor was suggesting that you wait till 70 until taking Social Security. I like that a lot as well. If you don't need the money, you might as well get that guaranteed increase of 8% a year until age 70 so you can maximize that. It's going to take you about 12 years to get paid back for what you gave up between full retirement age and 70. But once you do, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, then you'll have that higher check for the rest of your life, you know, beyond age 82 or so. So I like that approach a lot. Listen, sir, if we can help you further, don't hesitate to reach back out to us, and God bless you. 800-525-7000 to yet another first-time caller in Iowa. Hey, John, thanks for being on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Listen, I was wondering on a parent gifting a child money every year, is there any way that the nursing homes can claw back any of that money, or what other gifts that the parents would give their children, real estate, other investments, stocks or whatever, could the nursing homes, you know, try to repossess at a later date, I guess?
Yeah, the nursing home can't claw back this money, but the state can under Medicaid rules. So there's a 5-year look back period. And if that money was found to be given away during that period, then that absolutely could affect Medicaid eligibility. So that gift would certainly fall under that clawback period, which would come again from the state, not the nursing home.
Okay, and Medicaid, if the parent was on a military insurance that Medicaid wasn't even involved in, is that still the same situation, or is a military, you know, insurance type program hooked up with Medicaid and somehow?
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. I wouldn't know the details on that as to whether that look back applies there specifically. I'd be happy to get our team to look into that a bit further, and we could reach back out to you. But I don't know right offhand how that connection works with regard to the same asset levels, whether they apply or not. It certainly does with Medicaid, but whether, you know, there's an implication to that through a military insurance, we would have to look further into that.
Mm-hmm. And that 5-year clawback that you're speaking of, that would even include like the legal yearly gifting to your children?
It absolutely would. Yeah. So that's all that is just an annual amount you can give away without eating away at your lifetime gift exclusion of $12 million. Mm-hmm. So that absolutely is a part of your assets. And if you give it away, even under that $17,000 annual limit, they're going to look at that and see that as a part of the clawback period.
I see. Okay.
All right.
Well, God bless you for all your knowledge and taking our people's calls like this.
Appreciate well, delighted to do it, John. Thank you for your service to our country, my friend, and we're grateful for you being on the program today. May God bless you. Well, folks, that's going to about do it for us today. You know, as we think about managing God's money, there's a seemingly endless number of decisions and choices we make every day with regard to God's money, but we can boil those endless decisions down to really four categories. I mean, the money we live on, the money we give, the money we owe, and the money we grow. And here's the encouraging thing is that God's word speaks to all of them. You know, if we apply some simple principles with regard to managing God's money, it makes a world of difference. It doesn't mean we won't be in a situation where we're struggling or we have difficulty, but it does mean we've at least followed the model in Scripture and we put ourselves in a position to experience God's best. What are those simple principles? Well, it really comes down to living on less than we earn. It comes down to avoiding debt, setting some long-term goals, having margin or liquidity in our financial lives, that is, something left over at the end of the month, and giving generously. Spend less than you earn, avoid debt, set long-term goals, have some margin or some liquidity, and give generously. And when we've done that, I believe we're following the pattern in Scripture. And here's the reality. Those principles apply to individuals. They also apply to nations as well, coming full circle to where we started today. I hope that's an encouragement to you. Hey, thanks for being on the program today, for listening, for participating. By the way, if you'd like to give to support our work here at Faith and Finance, you can do that quickly and easily and securely, by the way, at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. It would go a long way to helping us meet our goals for year end, which happens to be June the 30th for our ministry. On behalf of Robert Youngblood, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry, I'm Rob West, and we'll see you next time on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.